Blog Good Talk evening. Radio.
Good evening, and this is Fatina Kirkendall, and I thank you for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. I want to thank you all for being patient with me. It's been a very interesting time off, but too much is given, much is required. I was determined I was going to go forward regardless of what's going on today, so I decided to make you a part of my process. I don't start the show without prayer, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Let's do it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. It's going to be very interesting tonight, but we're going to keep it moving anyhow. I thank you for who you are, who you've been, and who you have been in our lives. And I just thank you for covering for those who have been praying for me, praying for Chronicles. I just thank you for who you are. I just thank you for the people that you've placed in my life. I ask that you give them a double fold of blessings. And I thank you for those who are tuning in or waiting to be tuned in. Normally we do Facebook Live, but I don't think we'll be able to do that tonight. So we're just going to talk straight on the air. And as I move forward, Lord, I ask you to decrease Fuchina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in tonight. I thank you for who you are. I just thank you. I can't praise you enough. So it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So I thank you for tuning in. It has been a month, I will have to say, since I have been on the show. I always miss being on the show, but, you know, May was Mental Health and Behavior Awareness Month. And what I had to learn is it is okay to take some time for myself, and I had to do that. In the month of May, and I wanted to I wasn't sure how I was going to come on the show tonight, or better yet, let me just be honest. You know, when I was trying to find a title for the show trying to find out how could I relate and just express what's going on, I've always been transparent when it comes to the show, when it comes to Chronicles, because that's just the way I've designed. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm very transparent. And I have to ask the question, can you relate? I mean, do you find yourself that, you know, you've heard that old cliche in life before when they say, I take one step forward and I find myself being pushed three steps backwards. It's just, how can I do it? I mean, I want to quit. I want to give up. I have so many pressures coming against me. I have this coming at me, and I'm just going to use myself as an example. You know, I can, for me, you know, being here and exposing my vulnerability to people, I remember when I couldn't do it, but I know there's power in your voice. There's power in my voice, there's power in your voice. Can you relate to being in bondage, whatever that bondage may have been or is in your life? But we all find our place where we're on that journey. We're on that journey. And whether you feel it's from God or you feel like, you know, or you set a task for yourself and you're on that journey, you're on that journey, and you bob this, you bob that, you bob this, and then boom, you run into a wall. But, you know, sometimes you get up and go back, you're on that journey. And then all of a sudden, you're at a standstill and you find yourself in an area where you're questioning yourself. You're questioning whether or not you should be on this journey. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, or better yet, you just want to quit. I mean, just literally quit. Like, why continue to bother? That's where I was. And that's what I'm working out of. So I figured, what better way to help me through this journey is by sharing it. I'm sure I am not the only person that has found themselves on a journey, whether it's a mission from God, mine is from a mission from God, and also, you know, personally being a single mother, you know, working, you know, now doing other engagements. You know, you find yourself on that journey, and it's just like fear, doubt, this happens, something happens with your child or whatever, but there's always some type of detour. You find yourself, you're on a GPS, and you find yourself being detoured and detoured and detoured and detoured, and finally you're just like, I'm tired. And that's where I was. I was tired, tired. And I had to take a step back. Anyone who knows me knows that I sometimes can burn my candles on both ends. And because I'm always that person, I'm a survivor. I've always been a survivor, And I'm going to do it. That's always been my mentality. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make it happen. And I will get up, dust myself off, and I'll wear it with a smile. But not this time. This time I hit a detour, and I was at a stop. Literally a standstill, per se. And I was stuck. And as I've mentioned to a friend of mine, I don't want to go for it. I don't want to do it. I stopped working out. I stopped getting in shape. I stopped eating right. I stopped doing everything. I just got tired. Can you relate? Am I the only person out there that's been in that moment where you've been assigned a task and you find that the challenges of this world it just seems like you're stuck, you're not going forward, and then things happen. For me, the self-doubt started coming in. I started doubting myself. I am my own worst critic, to say. And once I started opening up, I all told you that there is no shame in getting help. I have a therapist, and I reached out to my therapist to make him aware of what's going on, and he suggested some methods I need to use. And I was so happy that I was able to be transparent so we can have this conversation as to what's going on, and he's given me suggestions on what I need to do, and I'm so grateful. And then I've always asked God to surround me around people that will help. I say all this to say this. Can you relate? Have you been in that bind? Have you been in a situation, or are you currently going through a situation or know of someone who may be going through that? Let me just encourage you that the race is not given to the swift, but the one who's endures to the end. It was one of my classmates that suggested, whatever you do, don't give up. I used to always question as a child, why me, why me, why me, why me? Then God spoke, why not you? So I asked, can you relate? Can you relate to this? You know, I have some people on the line, and I'm so happy to see you there. And I do apologize that I can't do the Facebook Live tonight. I was hoping that I would be able to, but I'm just not going to be able to do it. So with that being stated, can you relate? Can you relate to some of the pressure, some of the stress? And, you know, and honestly, you know, we'll get to that part of what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're in that situation? So with that being stated, I'm going to open up the lines. And if you know someone who could be blessed by this tonight, please, I encourage you, please have them call in. They're more than welcome to call in at 914-338-1552. Once again, that call in is 914-8-1552. What I did not do is what I normally do is I thank you, everyone, for being patient with me throughout this process. And I just thank you for always tuning in and just being faithful to the show and to the program and to the ministry that God has placed on my heart. And I just want you, it does not go unrecognized. I am truly grateful for your prayers. I'm truly grateful for your support and your nuggets of wisdom. And for those who are just listening international, in the country and out of the country, I thank you. I thank you for the emails that I'm getting. I really, really appreciate you to the fullest. And listen, the best is yet to come. So with that being stated, I just want to say, if you are on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page on Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You can also, you will catch the message on there because I'm going to put it on there after the fact. I do apologize it's not on there before the fact, but you can go on my personal page, Fuchina Kirkendall, and you can get it there. And I do see that a lot of people are reaching out to me through my personal page, and I thank you for that. Soon I'm going to be directing the traffic to the Chronicles page. But with that being stated, thank you for just thank you. I can't thank you enough. I'm humbled. I'm just humbled by this experience. So with that being stated, I'm just going to take to the phone lines, and I just want to open up because I just want to know, am I by myself? You know, am I by myself? Can you relate? I'm curious. Can you relate? So we're going to start with our first caller. So I thank you for tuning in for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You are on the air. How are you this evening? Good evening. Okay, we're going to move on to our next one. I'm not sure if she can't hear me or what's going on, but I hope. If you all can hear me, please let me know that you can hear me so I'll know that that you all are you know, actually hearing me here. So I do appreciate that. So with that being stated, I am going to move on to my next person that I have on here, and I'm going to say thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, and you are on with me. This is, and who do I have the pleasure of speaking to? You don't have to give me a name. I just want a city and state.
I am from Charleston, South Carolina.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm not sure if you caught me from the beginning. I apologize for being late, just run into some technical difficulties. But can you relate? If you hadn't heard everything, then I'll be more than happy to repeat it. But can you relate?
I did hear everything. And I think it's our time is prevalent to hear a person feel stuck in their life. It's an expression that has this variation. Some consider themselves stuck or sunk, or they're just simply in a rut. But that in all cases, it gives an account that the feeling of frustration, of a certain unwanted paralysis, and in the end of an impression of remaining in the same essential place from which there seems to be no way out, and in respect of which no changes is in the horizon. Being in the field of psychology, it looks like sometimes we'll develop what they call learned helplessness, which occurs when somebody repeatedly faces uncontrollable, stressful situations and then does not exercise control when it becomes available. So they have learned that they are helpless in that situation and no longer try to change it, even when change is very possible. So each person, on the other hand, can refer to the stagnation in different areas. But there is good news. You can get out of feeling stuck. First, you have to realize it's a feeling and it's not a fact. It's critical to learn to identify whether our emotions are trying to keep us down or something serious. And at the very moment, you do not feel you are stuck in life, so your conclusion is that you can't move forward. Still, your emotions may be telling you the whole truth. The inability to move on in life might feel real and inescapable to you, but in the end, it's just a feeling. And this feeling molds our point of view. And I think it's important that we accept our circumstances as well. As a matter of principle, accept the moment you find yourself, sometimes because of somewhat natural or understandable inclination, we avoid the feelings and thoughts of frustrations that we have for various reasons. And finally, let me just say that I think we should practice gratitude, because the feeling of being stuck sometimes come with thoughts and feelings of guilt, shame, dissatisfaction, frustration. So try to counteract those feelings with thoughts and feelings of gratitude. If you need some inspiration, you know, turn to your faith, turn to a friend. crazy is doing the same thing all the time and expecting different results every time.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the author of that particular sentence, which some attribute to, I think it was Albert Einstein, the message is precise. If you want a change in your life, you need to take the necessary actions to generate it.
I love that.
Be aware of your fear as well. Fear is an emotion inscribed in our most profound nature. It is inherent in life since it is mostly the response to that threatens it. So, however, in human beings, fear also has an essential dimension because in addition to the fear we may feel in situations of real danger, sometimes we also develop a fear of others that although in that sense they are harmless, they frighten us. So fear of failure, for an example, of uncertainty or of rejection, perhaps even of triumph, and, you know, et cetera. It goes on and on and on.
It's funny you said that because I expressed to a family member that I've always had a fear of success. And some of that comes from I always felt like I wasn't worthy. I felt like because I've done so many things so bad in my life that I didn't deserve to have good things in my life. And I find myself even self-sabotaging things in my life, but I had that fear. I still struggle to a degree with that. And then I had to come to that conclusion, like, why you deserve it just like everybody else. You work hard just like everyone else. And I'm just saying, I just want to encourage, you know, those who are listening that, you know, I had to learn that it's okay, and I appreciate what you're saying because, you know, I had to come to that realization that I'm not perfect, I'm human, I'm flawed, but I acknowledge that, and I think once I acknowledge that, you know what, it's okay, and. And then the thing is, now that you've done that, what are you going to do about it?
I think it's important that we learn to accept blessings that are bestowed upon us. You know, I often tell my son, you know, just follow the plan. And I know sometimes frustration in life arises when a person has let others lead their life for a long time, which results, on the other hand, in one reaching places where one did not really want to be. You know, on the other hand, and the subject being defined by the outside and not by the conscious inner process of definition. So you feel stuck. The person thinks that what they're according to, you know, others think of them in such a way that they become a stranger to themselves. You know, open up and accept the blessings. Like you said, you've worked hard. You've made sacrifices. You deserve the reward.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And but I will tell you this, you know, in general speech, for those who are out there, you know, I was there. It's still something that, you know, because I've done it so long, it wasn't done overnight. A miracle is not going to happen overnight. I'm a firm believer of what God can do or cannot do, but I knew that I have to put my effort into it and I had to change my mindset, and I'm changing my mindset as I've come aware, you know, just having awareness and, you know, going through therapy, going through pastoral counseling, going through whatever. So I just want to encourage others that if you're out there and you're going through this, can you relate? If you can relate to this, I totally get it. And, you know, send me an email at C as in Charlie, OAF woman, @gmail.com, because I would love to hear that. And, you know, I would, you know, share it. You know, if that's something you want to do, you're welcome to do it because, you know, you're not by yourself. I found out that I am not alone. Sometimes I do. I often feel like that I am, but I'm not. I'm not alone. And I've learned the power of my voice. And I learned that when I first came out and exposed the fact that I was abused. For a long time. And all of that, you know, it's just, all that stuff is just coming out. And as as I go to each level, you know, new things are coming, things I didn't even think that were there. They're starting that they were suppressed. You know, I'm asking God to show it to me, identify it, because I've learned that if you don't deal with it and release it, it's just going to hinder. It's going to hinder your growth. For me, it's hindering my growth. And I don't like anything having control over me, except for the Lord. But so I appreciate your openness in talking about it and giving those nuggets of wisdom. So what I'm going to do, I see some other people on the line I would like to get on, and I'm going to come back if that's all right. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much. So I'm just so relieved to know that there are other people out there, because you're not by yourself. And knowing that for me makes me feel so comfortable. And I just want to let people know it happens. It happens to the best of us. It does. And we just have to get to that point. For me, I always say, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when change is going to come. But it's a process, and I don't want you to think this is an overnight or, you know, it's not. Everybody's situation, everybody's scenario, everybody's process is different. There's no structure or what you have to process it in your way. So I have another caller on the line from Simpsonville, South Carolina. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. And how are you this evening?
I am well. And yourself?
I am fantastic.
As we're dealing with fear.
So, can you relate?
Yeah. Can you relate? And I think you all are dealing with the aspect of fear. And I understand. I heard you having fear of success, and you find that fear, and we all have it, of succeeding, but it's not our fear. It's the trick of the enemy to hold you back. Simply because the enemy doesn't know what your future holds, but knows that there is something out there better for you if you accept what God has for you. A lot of times we get close to the top of the mountain and we slide back down simply because we're too afraid to take the next step forward. For me, finishing my last degree, I was one semester away from walking the stage, and I was ready to throw in the towel, to just give up. I was tired of the work, of the mental stress, of all that had transpired, and it came to the point where my wife had to say, look, you've come this far. You've got one semester left. Go ahead and complete that semester, and whatever happens after that, that's on you. But we've come this far. So we get in our own way because God has a plan for us, and because God hasn't told you exactly what the plan is or how the plan looks, right as you're about ready to have that breakthrough, we back out and say, I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've gone through any kind of traumatic experience, especially when you're dealing with other people, you begin to develop a fear of other persons and how they are going to act towards you. So you begin to put up a wall, or like we used to say, I'm going to get them before they get me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that in itself holds us back a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said something that caught me when you said, I'm going to get you before you get me. And that was me, especially when it came to opening my heart to people, because I was dealt with rejection and abandonment on some sort, on quite a few levels and from different people. And my attitude has always been, I've never really had that protector per se, that, you know, I always had to really defend myself in situations that I needed that person to defend me, that should have defended me, but left me there and said, I'm not going to get involved. So I'm left mm-hmm. protected myself. And then you get upset when I make decisions based on, you know, just surviving. And then you shun me for the decision I made, but you should have been there to protect me when it was your responsibility as your role in my life to do that. So it's, you know, it's like a, you know, you can't win a situation. So I'm going to do what I need to do. So if your feelings is hurt when I make a decision, you know, honestly, you know, I have to do what I have to do. And mm-hmm. because I just know to survive. That's all I know to do. And I have to do it. You've made it very clear, or people have made it very clear, that you're not going to do it. So guess what? I have to do it myself. So don't shun me for the decisions I make when I have to do it myself. So I do develop
and
that. You know, I did
yeah,
that.
That's normally what happens.
You know, when I open my heart up, even with people, you find, I found myself when it came to love that it was hard for me to do it because I never understood it, because I never, you know, that realness. So when you, and I'm sure people can relate to this, when you've been treated a certain way for so long, when you get something that's opposite of what you're used to, you don't know how to receive it.
Right, and you're scared.
Yes, and as a result, it's like you go in protective mode. Well, that person is going to let me down again, so hey, you know what? I'd rather hurt you before you hurt me.
Right, and that becomes a self-sabotaging. And we do it unconsciously.
Right. It's like a self-defense mechanism, at least for,
yes.
I would say for me or anyone who may be going through that. It's like a self-defense mechanism. And so that's what we do, you know. And I found myself doing it so much, people are like, Tina, you know, I'm just here to help, you know. It takes a lot for me to trust someone. But when I do trust you and you betray my trust, that's a wrap.
Well, that's with anybody.
And I'm like,
that's normally
this is
how
the reason
is.
Why I don't do it.
But if you, I said, that's normally what we say. You know, you have that opportunity, and once you betray that trust, then that's a wrap. But if we go into the relationship or go into our situations with the preconceived notion that you're going to hurt me, then we've already set the tone or set the pace for how things are going to go, because that means I'm always looking for something to happen so that I can say, see, I got you, or I told you so.
Well, I knew you were like that. And I've been there too. Like, I knew you was like that. I've been there too. And I just find it, you know, it's very interesting. And so tonight, honestly, I wasn't going to do it. But I have wise people around me. And God has really created a circle for me, and I'm truly blessed to have it, that encouraged me, that truly encouraged me. And I've never been a quitter, so I don't like to quit, and I don't like things having control over me. So that's why I was like, why not just be open about it? So I just want to relate to the audience, you know. First of all, this is Tina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and I'm glad to be back. I was off for the month of May because I need to decompress, but I am back, and I'm looking forward to what's in store. And August is coming up, and if you don't know, that is the anniversary of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This will be year number 2. So I'm really, really excited. God is doing some awesome and amazing things in my life and in the lives of those who are surrounded, you know, I'm surrounded with. So just stay tuned. I'm really, really excited about what next year is going to bring, and leading up into the moment of the anniversary week, you know, the weekend before and the weekend after. So I am joined by Charleston, South Carolina, and Simpsonville, South Carolina. I'm actually going to bring Charleston online with us so we could have a general conversation. I have a little conference call going on here. So, Charleston, I have you on the line with Simpsonville. So it's the three of us on the line. And I know you heard quite a few dialogue between Simpsonville and myself. So I would just love to get you to chime in on what you've heard or if you have an opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, nothing hurts more than feeling betrayed by someone you love and trust. You know, betrayal can, it can come in many forms, such as, you know, people are just not loyal. There's dishonesty, unfaithfulness, or withholding. So I think each of these feels like a moral violation that cuts to the core of our emotional soul and plunges us into a deep psychological distress. You know, trust is really the glue that holds relationships together, because without trust, what kind of relationship can you have? It's what allows you to feel safe. It allows you to be open, like you said, transparent, so that you can be vulnerable enough to emotionally connect with another person. So when relationships first begin, trust is often given early as part of an unspoken code of honor. So people who violate that, you know, that's why people say it's a wrap. But, you know, there are steps that we can take to get beyond someone who has violated us. You know, you question not only what the other person did, but how you let the betrayal happen. You start questioning yourself. I mean, how did I let that happen? I should have known. I saw it coming. Why did I continue to trust him, or why did I continue to trust her? These are because there were some early signs. So for a relationship to move forward after betrayal, it is important that trust is reestablished not only with the other person, but perhaps it's more important that it's reestablished within ourselves. So even though we might have saw it coming and we kind of ignored the red flags or gave that person another opportunity, we have to forgive ourselves before we do anything else. And that's an important part of forgiveness, of the forgiveness process, is forgiving ourselves. You know, if I was a better person in some way, maybe this wouldn't have happened to me. Sometimes we feel that way, but that's not necessarily true. But when we can forgive ourselves when it comes down to people who violated us, then we have to forgive the other person. It's impossible to regain trust without first regaining control of your own emotional well-being by finding your inner peace with the situation that took place. I think many people struggle with forgiveness because they don't want to let the other person off the hook, you know, because of what they've done. You know, it's important to realize, though, that forgiveness isn't about the other person, but about your emotional freedom. You want to be free from that emotionally, so forgive them and let it go. Learning to forgive and make peace with things that happened in the past can happen more easily when you take your focus off of that specific event. So sometimes when we say it's a wrap, we're still holding on, because every time we think about that person and we still see that person, we still got these feelings conjured up in us. But we got to learn how to forgive ourselves, forgive them, and let it go. Hell, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
I have a question for you. I do have a question. When you are dealing with people who have been violated beyond their will, like, for instance, if it's childhood abuse, that's not something a child can see. What would be your suggestion on something like that?
Are you saying how do you forgive someone who has violated you as a child?
Right.
Let me ask you something. Is a person a friend of the family or a relative or somebody that you would still often see?
Relative. Relative.
A relative. Who is now deceased?
Yeah, he's deceased.
I think you can truly forgive. I think it's hard to forgive unless you have grasped the extent of the violation that has been done, you know, against you. like you said, you know, you talk to a counselor, you talk to a minister, or any other professional that you feel comfortable talking to. You need to seek to understand what really happened to you when you were hurt and why it hurt so much. Did it hurt you because you truly trusted this person? This person was my favorite uncle. This person was my, you know, my brother. This person was my father, my stepfather. You know, I think you have to understand what happened to you and why you feel so much hurt outside of the actual violation itself. You know,
I think
once you get control of that, then I think it's, you know, during my counseling courses, because one of my master's is in counseling with a concentration in mental health, you know, we were told as part of our training that you write down the name of the person you have chosen to forgive. Because underneath that name, think of the many things you have done for which you need forgiveness and write them down. So when we realize how much we need to be forgiven for all the wrongs we have done, it's no comparison now to when someone has violated you as a child. This is just a process to help get through it. It makes it easier to show mercy to those who have hurt you. You know, keep what you have written in front of you as you go through this process and realize forgiving others is a spiritual, supernatural exercise. It's impossible to truly forgive others without God's help. That's my opinion.
If I may,
God can help you. Yes.
If I may, in what you're describing and how you're laying that out, that sounds just like what Jesus did with the woman who was caught in adultery. As he was sitting there with his finger writing in the sand, some say that he was writing the sins of those that were accusing the woman. And as each person saw what had been written, they had to learn to forgive that woman as he was trying to show them forgiveness. So I can see writing that person's name down and then underneath that person's name all the things that you need forgiveness for. That's an eye-opening way of looking at getting to forgiveness. Even though this person has hurt me, I still need forgiveness for this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
And if I can get forgiveness for these things, how much more can I forgive them?
Yeah. Because he has the power to help you. Just remember, he only helps those who admit that they are helpless.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get through this myself. I need your help. I admit that I can't forgive this person. You got to tell God, I can't forgive this person with my own power, so I need your help. Help me to understand how much you have forgiven me so I can forgive the person who has hurt me deeply. Because the hurt from the harm someone has done you is so big you cannot forgive on your own. Even when you try to put it aside, even when you try to rationalize it, even when you even try to blame yourself before that it even happened. Maybe if I wasn't there, maybe if I didn't smile, maybe if I didn't do what he asked me to do by coming into the room or going outside or whatever took place. It's poisoning your spirit. So, you know, sometimes you got to cry out and say, realizing that this burden was just too big for me alone. You got to learn how to lay the pain and anger and hurt at his feet, take it to the throne.
I want to continue on that because you said quite a few things. It's very, I love it. I'm going to be applying it myself. But I want to talk to people who have experienced that but suppressed their emotions. It's, you suppress it to a point where you buried it for so long, it's like you don't even remember. It's there, but you don't remember. So to process that, you know, you have to come to terms with that. And I can relate to that. I can relate to that, and I just want to encourage people, you know, don't give up. And that's what I've learned to do for me, I just had this conversation earlier. I said one of the things I need God to reveal all those years I've suppressed from those years of what I went through. I need you to bring that out of me. I've buried it so deep inside. I can't even tell you any memories that went on between those period and that period in my life. Nothing. Maybe one or two things out of the 4 years. So, you know, having that truth exposed and then asking God, give me the strength to deal with whatever that is. And I just want to encourage other people, you know, you're not by yourself. And I'm just a living testament. I just don't mind being a fishbowl about it, you know, that I have to know what I'm dealing with, because right now I don't know what I'm dealing with, because honestly, I don't remember. I mean, I've just kept it down for so long, you know, I don't remember. And am I going to be able to handle what it was once it comes in? So I say it gives me strength to deal with it.
It sounds like your emotions are repressed instead of suppressed. Because the reason I say that is because, and that's a term that we're so familiar with that we often use, suppression is when we consciously make a decision that we're going to forget about what took place. But when our emotions are repressed, it is subconsciously forgotten. You know, it's the act of not acknowledging or acting upon your feelings, your thoughts, so much that one denies their very existence in terms of repression. The person is not even aware that these impulses are making way. So this becomes possible even because of the form that they make and such that they can't be recognized, or because they are completely prohibited from our awareness by our subconscious mind. When we suppress our emotions, we're making a conscious decision to suppress our feelings, our thoughts, our wants, that we're simply aware of what took place, and what we want to do, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to think about it. It's internally, mm-hmm. by not acting on it externally. So the reasons for why this is done could be many. Now, not diagnosing you or anything of that nature, but just based on your description and how you say how you feel, it just sounds like those feelings were subconsciously repressed for your own security, for your own safety.
Question. Could they have started out being suppressed, and being that it was done so long that they moved into repression?
Could. Yes. Good question. Yes, could. Definitely.
So there are people out there that have gone through something, and it was so bad that they decided that they didn't want to think about it anymore, or they didn't want to allow it to hurt them anymore. And because they've carried it out so long, it has moved into repression instead of suppression. That sound about right?
You made a good point.
But that would be me. Literally, that would be me. Mm-hmm. And now I want to know. I want it out, because I want it out so it can be dealt with. And now I can't. It's like I don't know if it's the mental block. I don't know what it is, but I want it out now. And so this is where I'm like, God, I need you to expose it. I need you to bring it out and then give me the strength to deal with it.
So would hypnosis work for this? Because I hear a lot of times that folks that have repressed events can go through hypnosis to bring it back to the surface to deal with it. Is that a possibility?
You know, the subconscious mind will block impulses, but I think that suppression, one can go through counseling to have it unlocked, or like you said, through hypnosis. They can always be unlocked. You know, there are things that counselors or can say or you that would trigger a memory.
But if you, if you've got it held so long, wouldn't you need to use it?
Right.
So if it's been pushed down so long, 30 years, 40 years, and you're wanting to deal with it now, you're going to need somebody that's going to be able to help you fully unlock it and then be able to deal with it. Because the only way you can deal with it is you're going to have to first address that it even happened, that it even took place.
Yes, and you would need to have, yes, you would need to have somebody to help you, because the subconscious mind will block these impulses because they may be viewed as potentially harmful and disruptive to one's psychological well-being or to one's stability or to one's self-image.
So, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think hypnosis, they really actually use hypnosis for people, and that I really didn't. So this is kind of like, well, they really do that. It does it,
yeah,
and it's effective, you know. Wow. I learned something.
The main difference, you know, how people get, you know, they use different types of techniques to help people get through the process to try to help them resolve the problem. And when we're looking at suppression versus repression, suppression, again, when we consciously make a decision, where repression, where it is on our subconscious level. So versus, I guess what I'm saying is that when we suppress something, we are aware of those impulses, where with repression, one might not even be aware of the same. So in the world of psychology and in the context of the defense mechanism, repression is used more frequently because it involves the subconscious mind at work. It protects us. Sometimes events take place in our life is so traumatic that our mind will protect us to help us not remember everything, so we won't just be miserable all of our life about that particular event.
Wow. Well,
you know,
you're tuning into
to make a touchy decision. I don't want to deal with him anymore. I don't want to deal with that situation anymore. He is out of my mind. Oh, she is out of my mind. It's the impulses and thoughts that will lead to the emergence of anger and conflict. But the repression of impulses can lead to far worse repercussions. I think this happens because what one has suppressed can be easily retrieved and dealt with, whereas what one is not aware of cannot be solved, and hence it can lead to several negative effects like numbing the senses or inability to judge our own emotions and actions. So sometimes our mind protects us.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to take this moment to say, once again, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Petrina Kirkendall, and we are here on Blog Talk Radio. If you know someone who can benefit from this, if you haven't caught it from the beginning, you can always catch the replay by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I'm also going to forward this. The link also will be on my personal page, Petrina Kirkendall, and it will be on the Chronicles page, and you can catch the link that way. And please, I encourage you, if you know someone who can benefit from this, and can you relate? And I'm sure most of us can, you know, letting you know that, you know, Chronicles is about real people, real lives, real situations, and I just know that, you know, there's power in our voice, and to let you know that, encourage you that you're not alone. There are other people out there. Me being an example, everyone knows that I'm a big fishbowl because I believe in transparency. So if you know someone who can benefit from it, if you don't catch the live, if you're not catching the show now, you could definitely catch it on demand and then forward it over to people and hit the like button on the Facebook page. And also if you're on Blog Talk, please subscribe to the show. I look forward to see you all. And you could also reach me on my email. You can also email me at C as in Charlie, O-A-F woman at gmail.com. That's C-O-A-F woman at gmail.com. I have the pleasure and the privilege of having Simpsonville, South Carolina, and also Charleston, South Carolina on the line as we talk about, can you relate? Can you relate to the stress and the pressures of the world? You know, you start off on a journey and you find yourself at a standstill. You find yourself taking detours and then you start to question yourself as to, you know, what's going on? Do you feel, you know, what's going on? Where you run into hills and valleys and mountaintops, and it could be several reasons, whether it's not dealing with a traumatic or having a traumatic experience, or, you know, it could be any situation, but we're here tonight just discussing that, you know, and I just highly encourage you, if you are going through or have gone through or are going through it, you know, seek help, because like I said, there's no shame in getting help. And, you know, I have a therapist myself. So we're just going to continue because we're coming close to an end and always get real, real good. Coming close to the end. So I'm just going to let them have the floor again because it's very good information.
All right.
So Simpsonville, you normally piggyback.
it's such an emotional trauma when we feel that we have been violated. And emotional expression involves actively exploring your emotion and releasing their energy. So, you know, where fresh emotions are healthy, if fully felt and properly expressed, I think that when we have been violated and that person is in a position now where that person will never be able to violate us again because that person is now deceased, that I think if we start using some of the examples or some of the strategies to move forward, you know, pray that person, you know, came to his or her senses before they took their last breath, or maybe the person didn't apologize, maybe the person never acknowledged, but that's on that person. That has nothing to do with you. I think at this point you need to take a deep breath and say, you know what, I am still here. I still have an opportunity. I can still tell my story. I can still move forward. I still have room to grow. I can still build my relationship with the creator and other people as well. And I'm not going to allow someone who can no longer harm me to keep me in as a hostage or keep me in prison. You know, break the chains and be free.
That sounds good, but knowing humanity, it's harder to say, especially when the one that hurt you is no longer around, because human nature is that we want to see that person suffer. Not saying that everybody wants that, but if you've hurt me in such a way, I'd rather you hang around and you go than you feel the same torture that I feel, that I carry within myself. Knowing that we carry around, that bitterness that we carry around hurts us, because, you know, when you carry stress around in your body and all of those different thoughts, you know, that's how we end up getting sick, our body begins to shut down on us because of the stress that we carry around holding on to things that we should be able to let go, or as we say, let go and let God. But until we begin to strengthen our relationship with God, we don't know how to let go and let God completely handle it. So that's part of that fear also.
The fear of
somebody else. I'm sorry, that becomes the fear of whoever has hurt us. We seeing them enjoying life, and we want them to feel the exact same thing that we're going through. So we, you know, for you to say forgive them and they're gone, that becomes a real issue.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But when we see people and they appear to be...
Charles, you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay. When we see people that appear to be happy, we don't know what's going on the inside. But we got to make a choice to have compassion on our violators. We got to look at them first as a tragedy, since they should be pitied. You know, bottom line is because of their violation against us, they have suffered and suffering, and in the end will suffer far more in this life or to come to. But, you know, we have to say that these people are pathetic, desperately need compassion. And one way to show compassion is to do like Jesus says. We got to pray for our enemies. He knows it is impossible to continue to pray for someone and still hate them and still want them to suffer. So we got to pray for them. It's hard. You know, it looks like the burden is put back on us. Because I've been violated, now I got to pray for my enemy. Then while we're praying for this person, ask for a blessing in their life. Pray that good comes to them and their eyes are open. And then pray that I can move forward. I can go beyond this so I can continue my life where I won't be attached to this person. I want to be detached from this person emotionally, psychologically. I want to be detached so I can move forward in life.
Amen.
I love that. That's a good word. And I have to interject at this point because I have 1 minute. And I told you, I always get scared when it's time to go to the end. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I thank Charleston, South Carolina. I thank Simpsonville, South Carolina. And if this is something that you want to do on another occasion, we can. I am open for it. I just want to let you know, can you relate? You know, there's so many things out there, and I've just learned from my personal experience, and just I've been truly, truly encouraged tonight, truly, truly enriched by the nuggets of wisdom I received, and I'm just hoping that has blessed you as well. My name is Patina Kirkendall. As always, I appreciate you tuning in to Chronicles, and I want to leave you with a quote. Only through experience of trials and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. And that's by Helen Keller. God, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.